Ready, down, put, 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 put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's a very good week when we can start it off with Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How was your weekend?
Wonderful. How was yours?
Wonderful. Mine was very good. Very relaxing, chill. Spent some time outside, a lot of time outside, actually, and just kind of regrouped after the start of the college football
season. Great football.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought opening weekend was very good.
Yeah. Very good. Jason, we were talking about those Green Bay Packers, and we have all decided that, of course, this is game week. We are all in agreement on that. What we cannot agree on is how many days there are until the Packers game. I said 4, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Gabe is saying 3, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Well, today's the 3rd, Jason. The game's on the 6th. 3 plus 3 equals 6.
I'm Team Gabe. Today's underway. It's
underway, but not complete.
Well, sure, but okay. I love you guys. I can't believe I heard this. I can't believe you're debating this. I mean, I can't believe it. Like, the game's on Friday. Today's Tuesday.
Yep.
Yeah, I understand that we are in the process of today, but again, we are 7 hours and 21 minutes into today. It's not like it's 12:01 and we're trying to say, it's only 3 days away now.
Yeah, but still a considerable amount of time for the Tuesday. You can't just ignore the rest of Tuesday because you want game day to be here.
I understand. I don't think this is how calendars work.
I don't think this is how time actually works, Jen.
Well, I think regardless of how many days you think it is, Gabe, you're right. I think that there's a lot of anticipation, and I'm really, you know, last year I said it was the most fascinated and the most intrigued I've been by any season going into it. I'm not as intrigued as I was last year because I just had no flippin' idea what was going to happen. And then it still ended up being even more than what I anticipated given the way the second half of the season went and the roller coaster these guys rode. But this season, I'm almost as intrigued, but it's the expectation game is totally different, right? I think we all feel like this is a double-digit win team that will go to the playoffs, and then once you get into the tournament, anything can happen.
Jason, I'm most intrigued with the defense. Probably not the game you want to start out against because this could be the most balanced offense in the NFL. You got a great running back, so are you going to bring the safety down in the box? You got great receivers, are you going to play it kind of cautious? You got a quarterback that can take off and run, are you going to spy him? Uh-huh. How do you think? You think they're going to come out and show that aggressiveness, or are they going to sit there and be like, all right, let me figure this thing out a little bit and be a little more cautious?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I agree with every word you said there. Because here's the thing, like on top of all of the things you said, you know, because of the way Jalen Hurts can play the position, does it negate or at least decrease the effectiveness of what this front is predicated on, right? Which is one gap, get up the field. Mm-hmm. Like you have to have gap integrity in your rush lanes. You have to make sure that you are trying to, you know, keep him contained while you are also trying to get after him. So, and look, this is they have new coordinators, right, on both sides of the ball. I think this is going to be a fascinating first game, and I'm really eager to see what Jeff Hafley's defense looks like because we certainly saw it for those of us who went to practice, but you didn't really see it in any of the games. You didn't see it with most of the players that are going to be on the field in any of the games. And it's going to be interesting to see just what he is capable of doing with this system against, you know, it's not like you're opening against some of these other teams on the schedule. where they're not as big of a challenge. Like you said, you've got Saquon Barkley now in the backfield. You've got a great wide receiver group. You have a guy that what did Hurts end up in the MVP voting 2 years ago?
Second.
If I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a really good team that obviously was kind of the mirror image or the not the mirror image.
Yeah, the reverse.
The reverse of what the Packers were last year. Got off to the fast start, stumbled down the stretch. Like, I don't know what to expect from the Eagles. So I think this is the kind of game that you really look forward to, in part because you just don't have a great guess on what's going to happen in it.
What about offensively, Jason? What do we know about Josh Jacobs, and how confident are we that he is going to be a better back than Aaron Jones was, especially late in the season?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm confident that he's going to be a better back. He's certainly a different back, and he's got obviously a different running style. He's not as much of a slasher, although he does have really good speed. But he's going to run you over a lot of times, and he has shown. I know that last year, obviously, this wasn't the case, but I'm always leery of guys, and this goes back to Chewy in '98. When Dorsey Levens missed virtually all the training camp when he had the franchise tag. And then it happened again in 99 with Free. I feel like you never really recover from missing all that time. So whether it's CeeDee Lamb or Brandon Ayuk, those type of guys, I don't really ever know what to expect from them. And so last year, I'm not sure that was a good representation of what Josh Jacobs was, because remember, he missed most of camp and then got off to a slow start. What he did in 2022 tells me that they can give him the ball a ton and let him run the football and balance their offense. I was talking to Jordan Love about this the other day. Like, Aaron Jones, and I know he got hurt in the game, but Aaron Jones was like the field-tilting player in that opener last year in the first game in Chicago. Like, he was the difference maker. And so is Josh Jacobs going to be that same guy for them? Is he going to be able to do with what Aaron Jones did down the stretch last year, which, for all that we talk about Jordan Love being great, and he was, it probably helped him be great that he had a guy who went for 100 yards rushing in 5 consecutive games. So, and I'm a little bit, if I'm a Packers fan, a little bit apprehensive of what the backup plan is at running back now that A.J. Dillon's season is over, and whether or not they're going to have Marshawn Lloyd fully healthy or at least healthy enough to contribute. So there's a lot of unknowns there. It's just, we all know that there's all these unknowns in the first week, right? Unscouted looks, and neither team plays their guys in the preseason that much. So there's that air of uncertainty. But it does feel like there's a little bit more to it just in terms of how they're going to approach things on each side of the ball, and that doesn't even include the new kicker.
Jason Wilde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Yeah, there's a lot of inexperience behind Josh Jacobs. We'll see if those guys are put to work very early on. So you just mentioned the preseason and the way that teams are handling it, and it feels like more and more the preseason matters less and less. Chewy is adamant, take the under early, because he thinks it's going to be a slop fest. Do you subscribe to that belief as well? That this is, since this is the first time they're really out there, the ones for mm-hmm. the Packers and for the other team, that you're going to see sort of a learning curve right before your very eyes on the field on Friday?
Yeah, I'm a little alarmed at the amount of agreement I've had with the big fella today. But I do think that. And I don't know what the Eagles look like in their camp. Obviously, I wasn't with them all summer, but there's this kind of attitude. I still think I got a huge kick out of Jaden Reed, who basically treated me like Chicken Little, which I wasn't saying the sky was falling necessarily, but I definitely felt like, the defense ate the offense's lunch for most of the practices. And then, they had a good practice against Baltimore offensively, and suddenly, we're all talking about how, they're going to be fine. And maybe they are. They very well could be. I look at this offense, and I barely saw Luke Musgrave do anything of note throughout training camp. I don't know what Josh Jacobs will do when there's actual tacklers tackling him as opposed to the way the run game. And look, I don't know the game like Chewy does or like these coaches do, but when I watch the run game in practice, it's hard for me to determine without tackling just how effective it really is. So how good is Josh Jacobs going to be? I'm not sure. So I do think that there's going to be a sloppiness to it, but I also think that, you know, it would be rare for one team to be really crisp and the other team to be really sloppy. I thought the Packers beat the Bears last year in the opener, largely because the Packers were crisper than a Bears team that obviously was still trying to kind of figure things out.
Jason, what are they going to do at right guard? I heard they're going to alternate. Is that because Morgan isn't healthy or they don't know who the better player? I don't like that. I never like the alternating.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. Again, LaFleur said we have a plan, but about a week ago we were asking him about that, and someone asked him about the idea of rotating because Sean Ryan had obviously done that down the stretch last season with John Runyon, and LaFleur's comment was something to the effect of "I like what you're thinking," so he kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit. Look, I think, I asked about Sean Ryan yesterday because it's very rare for a coach to do what LaFleur did, which was criticize Sean Ryan's conditioning publicly. I mean, the only other time that I remember that happening really was Eddie Lacy when, McCarthy basically called him fat. And Eddie Lacy was never the same again. Like, that was pretty devastating to him. He was a sensitive guy. And it really bothered him. And I know Mike really regretted it after the fact. Well, I give Sean a ton of credit, and so did LaFleur yesterday, talking about how accountable he was, because his comment was basically, this guy took that criticism and then worked his ass off to get in better shape in the days that followed. So I do think they're probably going to rotate. My biggest concern with Jordan Morgan is that he missed 2 weeks of camp with this shoulder injury, and he's playing a position that he literally had never played before. He got to the NFL, and before he got to training camp, like, they didn't even play him at guard in the offseason. So I understand he's a first-round pick. He's a first-round talent, but I don't love the idea of saying, okay, you missed 2 weeks. You've never played this position before. You're the guy.
Jason, I know and a lot of people made a big deal, 53 out of 53 yesterday participating, but how last year, even though, he played with Elgton Jenkins, he was clearly not Elgton Jenkins until later in the season. Are we going to see something similar with Zach Tom and the pec injury? Because he's out there, but I just still don't know. The way Chewy has talked about pecs, and especially being an offensive lineman with that position, I guess I'm just a little bit nervous with right guard being a rotation and then right tackle being, hopefully he's completely healthy.
Yeah, I hate torn pecs and I cannot lie. Yeah, I understand that. I think it's a very fair concern because you're right about Elgton. Like, Elgton did have his struggles by his own admission. And I always, one of the things I really like about Elgton is that he's kind of evolved into, this elder statesman now, because there's a very limited number of guys with his experience. But he is another super accountable guy. When he doesn't play well, he acknowledges it, whereas I think there's plenty of other players who find reasons to explain it away. But when I look at Zach Tom, I think he's just a really, really good player. I still think he's the next guy to get extended by this team, and it would be really smart to do that before he's able to ask for Penei Sewell money. So I think he'll be fine, but it's a very valid question, and I guess we'll find out on Friday in 3 days.
There it is.
good job.
Make sure you get that in there. Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right here on ESPN Milwaukee 94.5 ESPN. All right, we'll take a break. Much more to get to. Plus, want to talk about those Brewers, guys. I believe the magic number for the Brewers is down to 14. Is that correct, my gentleman? 14 for those Brewers. We'll talk about that in Jackson Churio as the show goes on.
Tune in to The Nalysis Show each and every week. It's presented by Gruber Law Offices. The Nalysis Dedekumbo hangs out with special guests for fun and even surprising conversations. Maybe it's his live show with Giannis, a chat with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any one of TA's unique guests. Find The Nalysis Show on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to The Nalysis Show on YouTube to see exclusive video content from The Nalysis. The Nalysis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Tuesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and ESPN.com simulated the entire 2024 NFL season. It's an interesting read. Again, they use, I'm assuming, like a video game sort of model to simulate these things, right? They throw the rosters in. Joshy, how do they do this?
No, these are based on projections. It's basically just computer simulation. So it is not like doing a Madden simulation. They do the same thing for like fantasy football now, where they basically predict games based on high upside outcomes, low upside outcomes, and the median outcome range of each player.
They use their football power index.
Do you buy into it?
Is what ESPN does. They simulated the full slate of games 20,000 times, and the one that they put out there was simulation number 515.
Do you buy it? Because the ending wasn't very good.
No, but I mean, is
well. Thanks well, for telling the punchline.
Spoiler alert! Yeah,
I was going to get there eventually. I'm sorry I didn't do it fast
but
enough
I mean, it's very possible that simulation number 722 had the Packers winning the Super Bowl. Right? They simulated this thing 20,000 times.
Wait, what? Don't they have a responsibility to? At least when they push the simulation out there, be the result that occurred the most frequent? It can't just be some random one. Like that doesn't make any sense. Like, why are we attaching any relevancy, any credibility to a random simulation? If they're not taking the outcome that appeared the most when they did the many, many, many simulations, then I got no time for this.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't buy into this stuff at all, especially who they have them losing to. I'm like, what?
Well, do you want to tell it or do you want me to tell it?
I've said enough. What, did you want to wait till the end of this? You know I couldn't wait till the end of the segment.
Honestly, huh? I'm surprised you waited this long.
I've said enough. All right, so let me just shake down the simulation for you guys. In the NFC, they have the number 7 Bears defeating the number 2 Eagles. These are the playoffs, obviously. The number 3 49ers defeating the number 6 Cowboys. The number 4 Buccaneers defeating the number 5 Packers. If you care at all, yeah, the score there was 26-20. And then we don't really care about any of the other rounds of the playoffs, since the Packers don't make it to the divisional round and therefore do not make it to the championship round and therefore do not make it to the Super Bowl. They have the Packers at the 5 seed, Gabe. Can you at least get behind that? Because in this simulation, let's see who the top seeds are. The Lions are the 1 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eagles are the 2 seed.
Makes a lot of sense to me.
And
I really like
Buccaneers,
both those teams.
I'm sorry. And the 49ers are the 3 seed. And we mentioned that the Buccaneers
would have won their... Yeah, they got the
and
Buccaneers
then the
division.
Packers are wild card.
The Packers are wild card.
So they would lose in Tampa
on the road
Bay.
In Tampa. Yeah, because they're the 5 seed, so they would have to...
I mean, if it was Atlanta, I would buy it, because don't sleep on Atlanta. But
nobody's sleeping on Atlanta.
Yeah, they are. I saw someone. Yes, they did. The stupid thing here said.
I said I'm sleeping on them.
Yeah, Josh is the only one. They're the favorite to win the division. If you're favored to win your division, I don't think you're being slept
on. The only reason Josh is doing it is to start a fight on a Tuesday. I don't have the strength having Monday off. So we'll bring this back on Thursday.
You could argue that having Monday off should give you the strength to be able to fight this battle.
But it's almost like
it's not the way it works.
Hold on. Like right now, I wish I didn't have Monday off. Because you'd be more dialed
in.
But
you, anytime we talk about this, you always argue that, oh yeah, I always have Monday off. 3-day weekend, I want Monday off.
I know,
off.
But it makes Tuesday worse. Because it's kind of a 30% Monday.
So then don't you want Friday off if you have a 3-day weekend?
I want Monday and Tuesday off.
All of them off. His wife just won't let him.
Yes. So I don't buy into this garbage at all.
I mean, is it, yeah, is that possible? Sure. That's entirely possible that that is how the Packers season comes to a close. I don't think they win the division. I don't think they're better than Detroit. They would have to have some things break their way.
The Bears beating Philly?
I think them to get there. Look, I mean, the Bears are a scary team.
Are they? What? They're in the rearview mirror. They're not scary.
Yeah, they're chasing you down.
Yeah, like the cops.
I know, but...
Let me use some of my experience here and tell you that when you see those cherries behind you,
yeah, but
that's scary.
Not, it's
sinking
it's,
feeling.
Hold on. It's not like you're looking in the side view mirror and the light is lit up because there's a car in your blind spot. That's what this is, right?
What are we doing?
I'm just telling you the rear view mirror.
Obviously.
I'm not looking in my side mirror.
Here, can I center us? If the Packers lose in the divisional round and finish second in the division, was it a failure of a season?
Yes.
Do they have to make it to the championship game?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
They have to make it to the championship game?
I think so.
And it's a wild card round, sorry, is what they would be losing in.
I mean, but if they're...
No, I don't think so.
Wait, time out. Are they coming at it from the 5 seed? Is that what we're using here for this hypothetical conversation?
Yes.
Well, no, because if you're the 5 seed, then yeah, you have kind of outperformed your seeding to make it to the what?
Division. I meant to ask the, because this has them losing in the wild card round.
Yeah.
I misspoke. So if they lose out like it's predicted here.
It would be their first game.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be a failure. You have to build on what they did last year, which was they obviously won a playoff game and then came close to winning the second.
But I don't think you have to build, in order to have growth, I don't think you have to build on that. I go back to what these guys did in the 90s. What you guys did. Again, your first crack at the playoffs, you won the divisional, or you won your wild card game at Detroit, lost to Dallas.
Twice.
Did that happen back-to-back years? But the team still, because you guys were so young, this team, continued to grow, continued to get better, because you had to go on the road for those divisional games, finally break through to get to that NFC Championship game in 95, win the Super Bowl in 96.
I'm with you. They lose in a divisional round, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. As long as you've seen growth, though, Chu. If they're the five seed, though.
If they're the two seed and they lose in the divisional round, no.
Because then you're losing at home. Yeah. If you win the division and you have one of those top seeds, then the expectations certainly change.
Yes.
But that is not my expectation as we sit here 3 days before the season begins.
We are using the simulation that ESPN put out. It is a random simulation, number 515 out of how many? 20,000.
I would gather, just to not be anti-simulation here, that this one was most representative of the mean outcomes
for
the
20 right? That's
did.
The only way that you could
justify.
They wouldn't
just pick a random one out of
that's what I was saying earlier. But it doesn't stipulate that in the article that is on ESPN.com. So I wanted to make sure I raise that flag as look, if this is the one that you saw most, the outcome that you saw the most in your 20,000 simulations, wonderful, great. It's representative then of the simulations. If it's just some random one, you drew a number out of a hat and pulled it, then really I have no time for it. So we are asking you this morning, if they lose like this simulation is putting out there, projects, if you will the season have been a bust? A failure. Not to get all Giannis Antetokounmpo on the definition of failure and success, but I think if they don't go as far or further than they did last year, because again, look, I know it's a new defense. I know there are new things, there are new people, that happens every season. But for the most part, Gabe, that offensive core, and I know you mentioned Josh Jacobs, if you slide Josh Jacobs in for Aaron Jones, it feels like that offensive core is the same. I know there's movement on the offensive line. We have talked about the rotation that they are going to have on the right side as well. But that unit as a whole needs to take a step forward. They need to be better this year than they were at the end of last year.
Yeah, and there's still a lot of growth that needs to happen. That's why I'm not sitting here going, Super Bowl or bust this year. Because there's still a lot of growth. They're going to start this year, once again, as the youngest team in the NFL. And as they showed last year, that doesn't mean you can't win and have success. But there's still a lot of growth that still needs to happen. It was great that they were able to take those steps forward a year ago. But, Chu, you know this, man. That's if this is the best that the wide receiving core gets, that's not good enough.
How deep are they? They seem deeper last year. Not with great players, but guys that could actually play.
But we didn't know that at the time.
Going in, it
was just big question marks everywhere.
But Andre Dillard? Is he the next guy up at left tackle?
My guess is they kick somebody out. Like they would either slide Morgan out, they would move Zach Tom if it ends up being left tackle, kick out Elton Jenkins, put Ryan and Morgan as your guards. My guess is those six that are, you know, vying for starting spots and the two rotating at guard, they're going to find a way to get one of those guys in if you have an injury at tackle.
I do want to talk about that rotation at guard because I think it is interesting, and I wonder if it is representative of how serious you can be as far as a championship squad is. If you're rotating that position all season long, are you a championship squad? Don't championship squad teams have stability at those type of very important positions? Let's get into that after this. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, 800-990-3776. We did put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll for you to interact with this morning. Would it be a failure for the Packers to finish second in the North, again, according to this simulation, the Lions win the division, and lose in the wild card round? I say yes. I actually say yes emphatically that they need to go further no matter what seed they have in the NFC, but maybe you disagree. 800-990-3776. Game
weekly pulse in the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune into Hear District with Marcus Johnson, Bucks Plus Audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now, bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Is it against the law to be a moron or not?
The law.
Not yet.
I texted this to Jen earlier. The law does protect some people from things that are called an attractive nuisance.
On 94.5 ESPN.